I'll be broadcasting from the Cassia Territory with the Gidindam Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en people. This is CICK Radio, 93.9 FM on your dial. And my radio show, I want to explore the history, sort of adventure and travel stories from the people living in the Bulkley Valley, near Bulkley Lake, and all through to Anderson Flats at the confluence of the Bulkley and Skeena River. The very cool thing about radio is that sometimes you have to use your imagination, putting yourself in a different place and a different situation. It's kind of a fun experience. And so last week on the show, I left off, stalled at the Guatemalan border. So you can imagine yourself down there dealing with the heat, and there's still always tension at the border. But it seems that I was unaware of the need for a visa, but fortunately I was able to lose 12 games of checker to the border guard, and consequently he was in a good enough mood to stamp my passport, and I was pretty happy to keep the adventure going. So I left that area, and then I started driving south, continuing my road trip to Panama City. I came into the next little town, which was called Huehuetenango, kind of a cool little place. And I met a young man there who took me to his house, and I got to meet his parents and his family. They lived in a walled compound with... It was very fortunate that I met this fellow, and then they fed me dinner, and I got to spend the evening with them. So it's like a real connection. So that particular night was Saturday night, and we went down to the square to what is usually done on Saturday nights is the marimba band is playing. And the single men are walking around the square in one direction, and the single women are walking in the opposite direction with their chaperones. And there's a lot of giggling and kind of, you know, kibitzing as they were going along. It was a pretty neat place. So I really enjoyed listening to the marimba band, and I just wanted to play a little bit of that song so you could hear it, and just picture this square, almost kind of like a, it's like an upright piano and it's got enough room for three people to stand in there with their sticks and bring out a nice sound. This marimba music was really 5 centuries old, brought over by the slaves in the back a few years. So we'll just let this one go now and try it. Give it a try. So that was kind of a start of the type of music that was available in Guatemala. It's actually music that is very famous in Central America. So I had a real nice weekend visiting with that family, got to know them a little bit, and then I carried on my direction, and I was starting to get quite concerned about the fact that money was becoming an issue. I'd stopped in the next little town ahead, and I was in the restaurant, and I was kind of explaining my problems to the waitress. And I was having, of course, a little bit of trouble with the Spanish language, but it was kind of fun giving it a try. And I was explaining that, you know, with the government taxes and restrictions, it kind of prevents locals from buying the car. And as fate would have it, or, you know, just being in the right place at the right time, a captain in the army was sitting in the booth behind and overheard the conversation. "I will buy that car," he said. "I can arrange the transfer, registration. I'm a captain." Okay, it was that simple. We agreed on $250, and I could keep traveling. This is where I added another song to kind of fit in with that program, and I thought it was kind of fitting, would be a car song by the Beatles. I'll just play that up right now. I've got that. So that song was written by Paul McCartney, and it's off of their Rubber Soul album. It was a pretty popular song at the time. Now, the fella that bought the car, immediately he filled it out with Dewey bobs around the interior and got himself a driver. So I was kind of thinking that car is probably still on the road. It was a pretty solid 58 Chevy. So then from that situation, I had to get used to the fact that I didn't have a home anymore. The car was a very good place to sleep. And I always had somewhere to go. So I was now hitchhiking, which in those days was a very common occasion. Everybody was hitchhiking, and if you did get picked up and got rides, it was actually a pretty good situation. Most of the rides in that area were from the truckers. The truckers are hauling equipment, goods, and so on between those countries. Like, we got four or five Central American countries that are always There's a lot of traffic going on between there and the trucking world. So I did get a ride. I got quite a few rides with the truckers. At each border crossing, we had to completely unload the truck. They were always checking for contraband. There was lots going on at the border, at the borders, for commerce and et cetera. So I carried on, and that one ride I was coming into Salvador, there was an army sergeant on the road, and he was stopping the truck. So he got, naturally, we were going to stop for him, and it doesn't seem to be much choice in the matter. He's carrying a small Tommy gun and climbed in the truck with that hanging off of his shoulder. It was a little bit uncomfortable. And then along the drive, he started sticking it into my ribs, making a bit of a joke that he could shoot me if he wanted to. And it was not very comfortable. I was pretty darn happy that when time came along that he'd got where he wanted to go, that he got out of the truck. That was a little bit uncomfortable feeling. So I thought it was a good opportunity to put in this other song that I've got picked out. It's from Eric Clapton, I Shot the Sheriff. The song was actually written by Bob Marley in the Wailers in 1973, and it was a cover song for Clapton. I wasn't aware of that. Very successful release, selling million-plus copies in 1974. So here we are with I Shot the Sheriff. Dead. So when I shut that song off, or when it stopped,
I didn't shoot the deputy. drop out.
Well, there we go. That's a pretty interesting song. I read a little bit of history on Wikipedia about Bob Marley, and I guess he was having some problems with one of the sheriffs there in Jamaica, and that's how he sort of got to writing that song. It's quite an interesting situation there for sure. So after that little incident I had, we just carried on hitchhiking my way along the trail. I remember getting between Salvador and Nicaragua. There was quite a lot of friction between those two countries at the time. And so you had to go through the border, and then you had to walk across the bridge to the other side. And it seemed like there was a machine guns set up on both sides in case there was any incidents. So there were different arrangements that were always a little bit concerning. But it was definitely interesting and a learning experience for me. And of course, as I was carrying on, my money did seem to be the biggest concern of what was going on. So I made it into San Jose, Costa Rica. And when I got there, I was completely out of cash and was feeling like things didn't look too good. Now, I had an arrangement with my father that I could contact him by phone and he could send the money down to a bank. And I was about to get onto that program when I met these two Peruvians. And they had a little scam going on. It sounded kind of interesting. They were going to the American consulate, and they were getting some of the tourist brochures. And then they were taking them around to the rich area of San Jose and selling them. And they actually needed someone to pick up some more brochures, so they suggested that I could be part of the gang if I would do that. And I thought, well, we're not really doing anything too harmful. So I thought that was a good idea. So I got in the plan, and I managed to make $17 over the next 4 to 5 days. And that was enough for me to keep heading on the road for Panama. So I put a song together that sort of felt good at that time. It's Taking Care of Business by BTO. They're a Canadian group that became quite famous in 1973. They put that song together, Randy Bachman, and he had two brothers with him, Robbie and Tim, and his one of his friends, Fred Turner. They added the overdrive on it just to fill out the band name and promote their song. This song is a provincial rock and roll song for Manitoba. Well, I'll put that one forward for us and see what we got here. Thank you.
taking care of business. Taking care of business.
Every day.
Taking care of business.
Every way.
Taking care of business.
It's all mine.
Taking care of business.
Working overtime. Woo!
Taking care of business. Taking care of business.
We've been
taking care of business.
Well, there we were taking care of business in San Jose, Costa Rica, trying to get a little bit of extra money together to carry on. That song by the Bachmans has been one of their famous hard-hitting songs. Randy actually uses it as his intro for his radio program on CBC. I'm not sure if you remember back in 1994, they actually performed the song with 1,300 guitarists in Robson Square, Vancouver, to break the Guinness Book of World Records. That was a really pretty cool evening when that all took place. So at this point in our show, I'd like to just remind everybody that I'm Thomas Tom Roper, coming to you with a show on the ropes on the radio station CICK 93.9 on the FM dial. We're going to just thank our sponsors that are keeping us going. I've got Accounting on Broadway and Bugwood Bean up on Main Street, and the BV Concert Association and the BV Farmers Market. Thanks very much for helping us out. So as we continued on this trip, I had the plans that I was going to get myself a job on a ship and cruise around the world working. And fortunately, I had been on a ship. And funnily enough, I was working before I started this trip on a CN ship called the SS Prince George. And it would leave Vancouver and go up to Skagway, Alaska, and back in a one-week trip. We took about 75 to 100 passengers, and it was a very interesting job. You were kind of on the job for 16-hour days. And the thing, once you work on a ship, you end up getting what they call seaman's papers. And so every week that you go on, you have to hand your book in. It's kind of like a little passport. And they write in what you've done and what time period you put on. So it's a very handy thing to have. And I was thinking that would help me secure this job in Panama. So I was carrying on down into Panama country. It's actually getting a little more jungly and hotter. And it seems that when I was there at that particular time, there was a considerable amount of poverty. And the Americans were still in control of the canal zone. They had made an agreement that they were going to give that up, but it was coming towards the end of that time period. And there was a fair amount of tension going on there. So I didn't feel like it was a real comfortable place to be, but that could have been my circumstances too, as a guy without too much money. So I found myself I got into Panama City, and I found myself a very cheap place to stay, and I was coming to the end of my finances. So I was pretty excited about getting in line for a job, and this might just work out the way I had planned. So the next day, I went down to the dock and lined up in a line. It was probably 50, 60 people there. And they were all looking for that one job. And it's funny. I was, looking at everybody, and they looked to be poor. They looked that they really needed that job, you know? And so I made a decision at that point that I would not take their job. And so I went back to my hotel, and I got on the phone to call my dad, and I was going to get some money sent down. Well, as it turned out, oddly enough, Panama and Canada were not on that good of relationships, and they wouldn't allow collect calls. So that was a kind of a little bit of a setback. And I just thought, well, that's kind of posing now a bit of a dilemma, because I've got no money. I had $1 left. And while I was sitting there, the neighbor at the hotel stated he was having a rough time and asked to borrow the dollar. It was my last dollar. So I kind of like, well, what the heck? I gave it to him. I made the decision right then that I would try to hitchhike back to Vancouver. 7,460 miles. Didn't seem to be any other alternative. So I thought it was a good opportunity to play the song that actually my wife found it on Spotify, called Busted by Johnny Cash. And he actually played the song with the Carter family in 1963. The song was written by a very famous country songwriter and performer, Harlan Howard. Harlan had it's a quote that's still lasting today. It's called Three Chords and the Truth. Well, let's give this one a try.
My bills are all due, and the babies need shoes, but I'm busted. Cotton is down to a quarter a pound, and I'm busted. I got a cow that went dry, and a hen that won't lay. A big stack of bills that get bigger each day. The county will haul my belongings away. I'm busted. I went to my brother to ask for a loan. I was busted. I hate to beg like a dog for a bone, but I'm busted. My brother said there ain't a thing I can do. My wife and my kids are all down with the flu. And I was just thinking of calling on you. I'm busted. Lord, I'm no thief, but a man can go wrong when he's busted. The food that we canned last summer is gone, and I'm busted. The fields are all bare, and the cotton won't grow. Me and my family gotta pack up and go. Where I'll make a living, the Lord only knows, but I'm busted.
So I thought that song really fit well to how I was feeling at the time. Things didn't seem like they were falling in place too well. And but we had to make a decision, and that there was no other alternative, and that's what we did. So I can remember it was a pretty sort of a memorable moment when I was walking across the Balboa Bridge that was spanning the canal, the Panama Canal, and just kind of wondering what adventures lay ahead. I was still, I still had the opportunity to go back to that job on the boat that I had in Vancouver. So I thought, well, I'll just make my way back and I should be in time for when the first sailing starts. So I started hitchhiking, and oddly enough, I got picked up by a guy, took me home to meet his family. It seemed like I was in a little way a little bit of a small celebrity. They hadn't seen a guy hitchhiking, too many of them anyway. So I was able to kind of fit in. People would feed me. They would even give me a little bit of money, a little bit of money to carry on. And they'd try and find me a ride. So I really, it was kind of amazing. I really felt that that connection to people. I've never really gotten over that kindness. And oddly enough, most of the people that were looking after me were not sort of wealthy people. They were just making it themselves along the trail. So I carried on working my way back through Central America. All of the countries, I was fortunate that there didn't seem to be any concern about the fact that I didn't have a visa at that particular time. And I was having very good luck hitchhiking and making my way through, heading back to Mexico. So it's a good chance for me to put in this other song that I've got picked up for hitchhiking. It's called Hitchin' a Ride by Vanity Fair, and I thought I would give us a chance to listen to that for a few minutes. This was Vanity Fair was an English group formed in 1966. The song was written by Peter Callender, and it sold over a million copies. And the interesting thing about this band, and I got this information off Wikipedia, is the band is still performing today. You know, there's certainly a completely new cast, like none of the original band members are there, but it's still, they're still traveling. And so let's take a listen to Hitchin' a Ride, Vanity Fair.
Long distance call, I got today. She hitching a ride, hitching a ride in a way too long from my baby's side.
Well, there we are. That is actually kind of a cute song, sort of fitting into what we were up against. And things actually were going pretty good. I really couldn't complain. I was managing to get enough to eat. I was managing to get enough rides. I was managing to find places to sleep. But along the trail going through Central America, there really, it's not a huge distance. There's five or six countries there that are fairly small, and then you can usually take 4 or 5 days and you're on your way through heading for Mexico. So I had heard a rumor that Mexico at the time had decided that they didn't like people coming into their country that had no money to spend. So they had set up a regulation that when you were coming through the border, you needed $200 to get into the country. So I was definitely a little bit concerned about that, but I'd hatched a plan. And so as I came up to the border in Mexico on a ride, as soon as I got out of the vehicle, I asked the border guard to order me a taxi. I explained to him, my Spanish was actually getting better, and I explained to him that my birthday was coming up, and I was planning a big party in Mexico City, and I needed to take a cab there, which would have been quite expensive. So I sort of was trying to convince him that I was had enough money without him worrying about it, and I was on the edge of him stamping the passport, and he said maybe I should just check, and I was trying to try not to argue with him, but saying that no, it was no concern. But he became firm that he wanted to know how much money I had. So I opened my wallet, and unfortunately there was no money in there. So he was actually got quite angry and demanded that I go back into Guatemala and not cross the border. So as you can imagine, it was a little bit stressful, and I wasn't really sure what my next plan was. So fortunately, as I had said earlier in the program, I had met this guy in that little town of Huehuetenango, which wasn't too far from the border, and I went back and looked him up. And he was actually a school teacher. So he was a little bit connected in the community, and he himself didn't have that amount of money, but he thought maybe the mayor would. So, I must have made a little bit of an impression on him that I was honest, and so that they could trust me that I would send that money back. So I met with the mayor, and he actually lent me $40. So I thought, well, what the heck, we'll give it another try. And back on the road, I started hitchhiking again. And would you believe kind of how luck or fate or just being in the right time, right place comes together? I got picked up by a Catholic priest. And he was going into Mexico, and with his status, didn't even need to stop at the border. So that's how it went. We crossed the border. I was in, and I could see my chance of heading home was improving. And so I just had to hitchhike my way through Mexico. And that was something I was working on. So I thought that it was a good time to sort of bring up my one of the songs that I can find, even today, a little bit emotional. It's Simon and Garfunkel put that song together called Homeward Bound. And I was reading a little bit about them on Wikipedia. It seems like, I mean, I wasn't aware of this, but they seem like they had a real difficult time through their lifetime relationship of getting along. They sure were able to harmonize and put some very beautiful songs together, and this is one of them. So anyways, this trip through Mexico was a very interesting hitchhike. It is an extremely beautiful country. I wasn't looking around as much as I would have liked to, but I have been back three or four times since that time, and I've seen some amazing places. I would certainly recommend them as a place to recommend Mexico as a place to go. Song down here. This song is kind of.
I'm sitting in the railway station, got a ticket for my destination. On a tour of one night stands, my suitcase and guitar in hand, and every stop is neatly planned for a poet and a one-man band. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping, home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for. Every day is an endless stream of cigarettes and magazines. And each town looks the same to me, the movies and the factories, and every stranger's face I see reminds me that I long to be homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Thoughts escaping home, where my music's playing home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Tonight I'll sing my songs again, I'll play the game and pretend. But all my words come back to me in shades of mediocrity, like emptiness and harmony. I need someone to comfort me. Homeward bound, I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts escaping, home, where my music's playing, home, where my love lies waiting silently for me. Silently for me.
Well, there, we're back on the air, and that song has always been kind of a, it's kind of like a going home song that you think about when you're on the road and you're missing your family and that situation. So as I was alluding to, we were making it through Mexico. I had pretty good rides, pretty good situation, until I got in the northern area of Mazatlan. I got picked up by these two guys, and they seemed a little bit, I don't know, I wasn't completely trusting them. And I was very tired, so when I got to their place, I fell asleep right away. And I guess they went through all my pack to see what was of any value, and I really didn't have a lot of value things. But I had bought these shoes for my mother. I always like to buy my mother something. I'm sure she would never wear them, but I thought it'd be kind of cute that she had them from Mexico. And when I got back on the road and was carrying on the hitchhiking, I had checked my pack and they were gone. So I course, I wasn't going to go back and deal with that. I was still making my way through into the United States and then working my way through America back to Canada. And, you know, the people that picked me up in the California, Oregon, Washington, they were very similar. It seems that I was on a connection with people that were helping me. And so when I crossed the border into Canada at the Peace Arch Park, just north of Blaine, I remember quite vividly bending down and kissing the soil. I was just pretty happy that I was able to make it home. And that was certainly an adventure that taught me, you know, survival skills that I could take with me on this journey through life. I was actually, gave me a pretty good understanding of travel. And after I went back and got back on the ship, I was able to work a full season, and then I was off to Europe. So I do have more stories to tell as we are carrying on, but I really want to get some of the stories from our local people in the Bulkley Valley. And I'm kind of stretching that Bulkley Valley from Bulkley Lake. I've got some friends down there, and I've got some friends up in Hazleton at they used to call it Mission Flats. It's now called Anderson Flats. And I want to sort of reach out to them and line up a kind of a storytelling situation infused with some of their favorite music. So I just want to let you know about next week's program. We're actually 2 weeks away, which will bring us into about the 15th of July. And I have Pat Scott lined up for that show. And most of you will have met Pat at one time or another. She used to own the Swiss Tea Room. They actually came to Smithers specifically when they bought the Bulkley Hotel. So there, she's got a few stories, and she's actually very talkative and very interesting to listen to. So that's going to be coming up on July the 15th in a couple of weeks. So I just want to close out the program. We are reminding you we're broadcasting on CICK Radio, 93.9 on your dial. And probably the coolest thing about these broadcasts is that they're recorded and archived and can be accessed at any time. So if you're just going through to smithersradio.com, click on the schedule and scroll down to On the Ropes, and there you are. Thanks for being a part of my new adventure, and hope you'll be listening next time. This is Thomas Tom Roper, and I'll see you on the flip side. So I'm going to...
explanation for anything important any of us do. And yeah, the human tragedy consists in the necessity of living with the consequences under pressure, under pressure.
So there you have, that's the Tragically Hip, the song Courage. And I wanted to, my son actually recommended that I have it for an intro and an exit. And so we had a few minutes extra, we could play the full song. And we'll catch up with you again in 2 weeks. And just reminding you, Thomas Tom Roper, On the Ropes. And thanks for tuning in.